I don't know about you, but it seems like it's getting harder to remember things these days. It may be because I'm getting older, but I suspect it also has something to do with the larger trends of our age. You see, these days I think we try and cram more stuff into our minds. I think we try and focus on more things than we actually can focus on. I think we are always after what's new and novel, not realizing that these things may be keeping us from remembering what's actually important. I remember being an undergraduate, and I used to joke that after studying all the classes to get a double major, I felt like my brain at some point simply was full, in the sense of like full to the brim, as in maybe I could learn something else, but I don't know what would be pushed out the other side to do. There would be a cost to learning from this for anything else. So I could understand Maxwell's equations if I needed to, but I might forget my mom's name as the cost. And you could weigh that either way you want. But it was just this feeling of my brain is saturated and there's nothing else that will fit. To make matters worse, we live in a world that just seems more noisy than it used to be. We've lost the silence and the space to process all that we're trying to take in. We've lost the perspective to be discerning about what is important and what is not. Plus, we're just moving faster all the time, whether that's good or not as well. And so we have trouble remembering what is good. But therefore, I do all I can to set up reminders for myself of things I need to do, of things I should do, of things I simply need to remember. And then in the midst of all that, I also try and, you know, pay the bills and change the oil in the car and do all the other daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, yearly things that need to be done. But obviously, it can be hard to remember all those things. It's easy to get lost in all of that. It's easy even to forget people. At times I feel the need to step back and simply stare at the quantity and diversity of things I'm trying to juggle at any one time. And I know I'm not alone in that because a lot of you are juggling just as much, if not more. And so we put things on our calendars, we leave ourselves notes, we write lists, we set reminders on our phones, we email ourselves, we create to-do lists, we even ask other people to help us remember, which is funny because most of them are having trouble remembering as well. Also, that we don't forget the important in the midst of the everyday. So that we don't forget the important in the midst of just the maelstrom of life. And the trick, of course, is that if there was some kind of system to capture everything, or better yet, if you could put some of these things into the regular routines and rhythms of life, then you wouldn't have to remember them quite so much. I mean, if you could make some of these things simply habits, then they would happen more automatically, and you wouldn't need to give up the brain space to keep it all in mind. Of course, if you had more brain space, somehow life would throw a couple more things your way and fill it to overflowing again. For a while, a couple years ago, I found myself wishing for something from the Harry Potter stories. If you know the Harry Potter world, it's a magical make-believe world, and so they have some fantastical things. But the thing that I wanted the most out of that world was something called a pensieve. It was a small bowl for you to put your thoughts. You could kind of empty certain things of like, I need to think about this, I need to remember this, but I'm going to put it in this bowl, and then I'll get it back out later. So it doesn't need to occupy headspace anymore. For a long while, I thought that would be helpful. So you could focus on one thing at a time, not worrying about losing other things that are in your brain. Trying to redeem the space that's between your ears. I wonder if you can relate. I wonder if you have sometimes trouble remembering. I wonder why. Today we begin a new sermon series extending the last one. For the past 4 weeks, we've been working on getting to know the Holy Spirit better. Because for most of us, the Holy Spirit is the missing person of the Trinity. And so we've hopefully been getting to know who the Holy Spirit is better. Today we begin the second part of our summer series looking at what it means for the Holy Spirit to be present in us. Many of the passages we've read and many that we will be reading talk about how the Holy Spirit is supposed to be inside of us. Somehow the Holy Spirit should be present in us. But of course, if he's in us, that will change us. In fact, we saw this a couple weeks ago. We were looking at the Holy Spirit's holiness. We were talking about how if the Holy Spirit is holy, and if the Holy Spirit is in us, then somehow maybe we are made holy. That we are somehow set apart, that we are now special because of his indwelling inside, his presence inside of us. So in this series, we're going to extend those ideas as we explore what the Holy Spirit's presence will do from inside of us. If the Holy Spirit is in you, what will you get out of it? And how will he change you? So with that, I would invite and encourage you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. While you're turning there, we need to do a little bit of a review because we're going to see a couple things that we saw a couple weeks ago again today in this passage. A couple weeks ago, we saw Jesus telling his disciples about one who will come, one I'm going to send to you. In fact, in John 16, it says this. It says, "It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." So Jesus is going away, but before he does, or when he does, he will send this Holy Spirit to you. We talked about how that's kind of a crazy idea, how Jesus actually thinks it's better for us that he leave so that we might receive the Holy Spirit. Which is strange, because if anyone else said, you should have this more than Jesus, that would be disturbing, except it's Jesus who says it. Jesus seems to think it's better for us to have the Holy Spirit inside of us. What's more, he names him the Counselor. And we spent a lot of time, and we won't this time, talking about that word. It's the word paraclete in the Greek, and it means advocate, so counselor in the legal sense. It means strong comforter, it means guide, and it means champion. We're going to see that word a couple times in our passage again today. So when you see the word counselor in our passage, it's the same word, paraclete. Advocate, guide, comforter, champion. And so with that, we can finally get to our passage, John 14, 16. This is, again, Jesus speaking. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. I do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Amen." As our passage picks up this morning, we find Jesus telling the disciples that he's going to ask the Father to send another counselor, the first counselor being Jesus himself, our advocate. And it's not just that you'll know this other counselor, it's not just that he'll be with you, but he'll actually be in you. In other words, Jesus isn't going to leave the disciples alone, but he's going to send the Holy Spirit to dwell among them and inside them. And it's worth taking a moment to reflect upon this. The great God of the universe is taking up residence in you, which is sort of crazy when you think about it. The one who made you will dwell inside of you. Now, just to be clear, this doesn't mean that we are gods, or that there's any part of the deity that can be found inside of us other than we were made in his image. So that part's there. We aren't God, we aren't gods, and yet God lives inside of us through the Holy Spirit. And if you could grasp that for a moment, that should change everything. Maybe this Christianity thing isn't about going to heaven later. Maybe it's just understanding that God is living in you now. Maybe heaven's simply an extension of that. A couple weeks ago, my wife, Chaley, was telling me about something she had read for her Sunday school class. Sometimes when you're studying the Bible, you may think that it would have been easier back in biblical times. I mean, what would it have been like for Adam and Eve to be walking in the garden with God? Man, it'd be easier to follow God if you literally were following him, walking alongside him. What would it have been like to be Moses, led by God, face to face, having conversations? God, should we turn left or right? Left. Okay. There's no, like, I don't really know what he's saying. No, you know. It's face to face. Man, that would have been awesome. What would it have been like to be Peter or Mary hanging out with Jesus? Was Jesus funny? Did he tell funny jokes? Were they appropriate jokes? Were they not? He's Jesus, but what was he like? Man, it would have been awesome to have lived with God on earth. But maybe when we get to heaven, we're going to be talking to Peter and Moses and Adam and Eve and Mary and say, man, what was it like to talk to God face to face while on earth? And they'll say, well, I mean, it was neat. But what we want to know is, what was it like for you to have God inside of you? What was that like? I mean, sure, the face-to-face thing was neat, but you actually have God in you. That's crazy. Do you see how radical and strange this teaching of Jesus is? That you have God in the Holy Spirit inside of you. And Jesus continues, with God inside of us, we'll come to know him better. We'll come to love him more, and then that'll make us want to obey him better. And at first glance, that's kind of a strange progression, that if you know God more, you'll love him more, and then you'll obey him better. But the reality is that oftentimes, the more you get to know someone, the more you will come to love them, and the more you love someone, the more you'll want to serve them. Especially if they're a good person. Obviously, this goes the other way if they're not a good person. But if they're a good person, the more you get to know them, the more you may find that you love them. But in this case, we're talking about Jesus. And he's sort of the definition of a good person. So, I mean, if you get to know him better, you will love him more. And then you'll find yourself wanting to do what he says. Hopefully, if you're married, you have seen this in your marriage. The more you get to know your spouse, the more you find yourself loving them. And the more you find yourself loving them, the more you want to do things for them. It's kind of the same idea, just on a much larger scale. As you get to know Jesus, you'll start to care about the things that Jesus cares about. As you get to know Jesus, you'll start to want the things that Jesus wants. As you get to know Jesus, you'll start to love the people that Jesus loves. Of course, really, if you look at it the other way, it could be kind of a test. If I don't have any desire to serve someone, it may be a function of me not loving them all that much, which may simply be a function of me not knowing them all that well. Maybe we could actually come to know Jesus better by serving him. Maybe by obeying him, we'll come to love him more, and by loving him more, it'll drive us to get to know him better. Maybe these things all work hand in hand. The goal being that we are becoming more like him. The goal being that we are doing the things he did and taught. Which brings us to the end of our passage and really the part I want us to spend the rest of our time with. I want us to talk about what the Holy Spirit will do in us. What's the role the Holy Spirit will play inside of us? Verse 26 reads, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." The Holy Spirit will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Now again, the reason he's teaching and reminding us of what Jesus said is because we as Christians, as Jesus' disciples, we are supposed to be doing what Jesus said. He didn't just teach to give us some philosophic ideas or moral ideals. He taught in order to instruct us how to live differently. And therefore, as followers of Jesus, we're not trying to fill up our heads with knowledge about what he said. We're trying to live out his teachings. We're trying to live out his instructions. We're trying to live out his example on earth. And it's the job of the Holy Spirit then to teach us and remind us. And those are the two I want us to look at a little bit deeper as we finish. First, the Holy Spirit will remind us of what Jesus has said. And of course, this is helpful because turns out we have a tendency to forget. We have a tendency to not always want to remember. So the Holy Spirit will bring Jesus' teachings back to mind. It strikes me that our experience of this will often be through our conscience or subconscious, if you will. The Holy Spirit will use that voice in our heads to remind us. You're about to do something wrong, and then a little voice in your head says, wait a second. This doesn't seem... Didn't Jesus say something about not gossiping or not lying? Or didn't Jesus say something about turning the other cheek? Maybe I shouldn't do this. Or you see someone in need, and you realize that you could and probably should do something about it, and then you just start walking by, and then there's something inside you that kind of gives you a little nudge, points you, even encourages you to act. You may even remember that Jesus said something about loving neighbors, or whoever does this for the least of these does it for me. And oftentimes, while we simply ascribe these promptings to our conscience, maybe that's the Holy Spirit. Maybe sometimes that voice inside of us isn't just our brains encouraging us this way or that. Maybe these are the promptings of the Holy Spirit, reminding us of what Jesus said, what he instructed and what he did, in order to change our behavior. Of course, here's what this doesn't mean. This doesn't mean that the voice inside you is always the Holy Spirit. This doesn't mean that you should do whatever pops into your head or that you regularly are hearing God's voice when you hear that voice in your head. Because let's face it, that voice also says some pretty crazy things at times or tells you to do things that you simply shouldn't do. Eat a third dessert tonight. You've earned it. That's probably not the Holy Spirit. That's probably your tummy. It's a different voice. It sounds the same, but it's different. So we actually have to learn to discern his voice from ours. Because obviously, if it's the Holy Spirit talking, we probably should do what he says. And if it's our stomach talking, maybe we can ignore it sometimes, or at least make sure it's in its proper place. The clue in this is in what the Holy Spirit is reminding us about. The Holy Spirit, it says, reminds us of what Jesus has said. So if the voice is quoting Jesus, that's probably more likely to be the Holy Spirit than not. If the voice is telling you to hit the snooze button for the 87th time that morning, probably not the Holy Spirit. Of course, we still have to be discerning. We still have to know what Jesus says and make sure we understand the right context. You don't get to take some part of Jesus' teachings totally out of context or leave out certain words. I will make you fishers of people. If you leave off the of people, he says we should be fishers, which means we should always go fishing all the time, no matter what. That would be kind of out. That may not be the Holy Spirit prompting you. That may be your love of fishing. So we still are responsible for hearing the promptings of the Holy Spirit and responding to the Holy Spirit. We're still responsible for our actions, for doing the right thing, or responsible for when we don't do the right thing. But the Spirit is there to remind us of what that is. It becomes our job to actually do it. Of course, the Holy Spirit doesn't just remind us, He also teaches us. And this one's important as well. In some ways, the Holy Spirit's teaching is a corrective for all those other voices in our heads. You see, sometimes I don't actually know what's wrong. I don't actually know what's right. I just think I do. In other words, sometimes my conscience is wrong. And worse, sometimes I don't even know it. Put another way, the Holy Spirit may want to remind me of something that Jesus said, but that only works if I actually know what Jesus said. And if I know how to apply it into my life correctly in this season and sequence. If I don't, then the Holy Spirit needs to help me learn what Jesus is saying. So the Holy Spirit is at work then when you hear the Scriptures, when you wrestle with the faith, when you teach and study, and when you pray. The Holy Spirit is active, working to help you learn who you are and learn who Jesus is and learn who we are to become. The Holy Spirit reveals God to us. Not only that, but the Holy Spirit is also at work teaching us when we're in community together. And this is important. Sometimes it's through committed community that we come to understand Jesus' teaching in new ways. As we study together, as we pray together, as we simply live in Christian community, we'll come to understand Jesus' teachings better. We'll come to understand the effect our behaviors have on others, and we'll have opportunities to practice and learn more about what Jesus is teaching. You see, when we're in community, it doesn't always take long before you have to learn about repentance and forgiveness. It doesn't take long before you have to learn about Jesus' kind of love. It doesn't take long for you to realize just how much you really need the Holy Spirit inside you, teaching you. And of course, if the Holy Spirit is constantly teaching us, the implication is that we are constantly trying to learn from the Holy Spirit. And so our posture should be one of openness and learning and humility. Who knows what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach you today? Who knows who the Holy Spirit may use to try and teach you today? And so we must be humble enough to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us in whatever manner He chooses. We must be humble enough to be able to admit that we don't always know what's right and what's wrong, and we don't always know what's best. We have to be humble enough that we can be changed. But that's why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be with us in the first place. To be with us and to live inside of us. So that He might teach us and remind us of who Jesus is and of what Jesus said, in order that we might come to know Him better, love Him more, and obey Him better. I wonder what it would be like to follow all of those promptings and teachings better in our lives. I wonder what it would be like to know and love and obey Jesus more. I wonder how our lives would be different if we responded whenever we heard the Spirit's reminding. I wonder what we'd learn and experience if we allowed the Holy Spirit to teach us. I wonder if that is why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. Because He knew we'd always need the Spirit there. Because He knew how many times we'd hear the prompting and then go the other way. Because He knew we'd need another chance and another chance and another chance and another chance. And so He said, You know what would work better? I'm just going to put the Holy Spirit right there inside you. So that you might always know who I am. So that you might always be reminded of how to follow me better. so that you might come to know me better and love me more. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you didn't just give us a bunch of rules to follow. You didn't just tell us the way we were supposed to live. You didn't ever abandon us. But you sent your Holy Spirit to live inside of us. We pray even now that you would fan the flame of that Spirit in us, that we might know him better, that we might feel him more, that we might experience that fullness inside of us. And that as we do, we might be changed. Lord, even in this next week, as we feel a prompting from you, as we think to ourselves, I should do, I shouldn't do, we pray that we would try it. That we would try to be faithful in that moment. As we hear a prompting of, I should pick up the phone and call that person, we pray we wouldn't look at our to-do list, but we'd pick up the phone. As we think this week, as you prompt us, I should pray for that situation or that person, we wouldn't say, yeah, I'll do that later. But we do it in that moment. As you point someone out and say, you could reach out to them, Lord, we pray that we would, in courage and in faith, take that step. That we might learn to discern better the voice of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And Lord, as we do, that we would be changed. As we do, we might experience you at a whole new level than we ever have before. Lord, we thank you that you wanted and want to dwell inside of us. We pray that that would change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we continue in worship. And now let us affirm our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. As we continue in worship, we recognize all the blessings God has given us. We recognize all the ways that God has been present in our lives and continues to be present in our lives. And so we worship God through this time, through our singing, through our prayers. And we also worship God through our giving as a way of saying thank you to God for all He's blessed us with. So this time, let us continue in worship through our giving. Lord God, we thank you for the blessings that you have given to us. We thank you for these gifts. We thank you for all of the gifts that you have bestowed upon us. We pray that you would help us to be good stewards of these gifts, that we would remember that all of them are yours, and yet you have entrusted them to our care. And we pray that we would use them all to your glory now and forever. Amen. Now let us close in worship. I'm going to let you out early today. That's weird. If we want, we can do, I can add a fourth point to my sermon really fast, and we can talk a little bit more, or I'll do the announcements, benediction, and send you on your way, and next week will be long. Three very quick announcements. First, we're going to do a new member event next week after the second service in the adult Sunday school classroom, July 16th. Please let us know if you can be a part of that, and childcare and lunch will be provided. We're going to be collecting the school supplies with SOS backpacks, and there's some information in your bulletin, or there's an insert out on the welcome table as well for more information about that. And then it's summertime, and we're getting a later start because it may work better this way, but one of the things we do in the summer is called Tuesday night dinners. It's dinner on Tuesday nights. At 6:15, we go to a local restaurant. It's a different restaurant every week, and we just have dinner together. We don't pray loudly. We don't do any kind of weird Christian-y things. We literally just, well, there's loud, but it's because I have children, and they get crazy sometimes. But we just have dinner, and we have fellowship, and it's been amazing for me to be able to see over the last couple years how different friendships and communities have really grown out of simply eating dinner together a couple times throughout the summer. So this Tuesday, we're going to be at Kincaid's in Southlake, hamburgers and other things. We're there from 6:15 till 7:30 or so, depending on when people get there and how fast the food arrives. But join us. It's fun. And then next week, we won't be at Kincaid's. We'll be somewhere else, but you'll have to show up next week to find out where. The rest of the announcements are in your bulletin. I would encourage you to read those when you get a chance. As you leave today, may you recognize more and more that the Holy Spirit is inside you, teaching you and reminding you of the things of Jesus. And may you